You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good, the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's American Horror Story After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's American Horror Story After Show.
Good evening, AfterBuzzers. We are here at the AfterBuzz. Jesus Christ, this loud music.
We're gonna leave all religious figures out of this.
Sorry. We are here at the AfterBuzz TV studios doing things the way things always should be done with Bing. I am your host for the evening, David Skipolitti. I am back from the dead. Joined by these three gorgeous ladies.
Hi, I'm Anna Koppel.
I am Jillian Love.
And I'm Oriana Leo.
And we are here doing American Horror Story Season 3, Episode 2, titled Boy Parts.
So many boy parts.
So many boy parts. And you're listening to Rhiannon by Fleetwood Mac.
Who apparently...
is the original witchy
original
woman.
Witch.
I can't. I love that freaking woman. Stevie Nicks is my goddess. Just gonna throw that out there.
I'm glad you.
Are you guys not in accordance? I hate you guys already.
So really quickly, before we start talking about the episode, I just want to sort of acknowledge some of our viewer comments on YouTube and iTunes. And by the way, we always love your feedback.
We do.
Mostly when it's nice.
I like the bad comments. I'm going to put that out there for my fellow hosts.
It makes us better.
Yeah. It
really does. And I definitely took the comments to heart. I think that we all take everything here at AfterBuzz seriously. We're not just hosts. I think we're commentators. And, you know, last week for me in particular was embarrassing. You know, I didn't know. Oriana's like, so she's like giving me like sad face.
No, I don't think it should be embarrassing.
Well, what was embarrassing about last week?
Well, I just didn't know like any of the historical references and whatever. So
okay.
I've done a lot of research this week.
Good.
I'm going to continue to do research.
Exciting.
And, you know, and we can't know everything, and so that's why we rely on you, the fans.
Yes.
Exactly. And
this
week, last week was an expository episode. There's a lot of information, and we are so happy to sort of dig into the meat and potatoes of it this week.
Yes.
And I think we have a better understanding, and we appreciate all of your comments. And we have a guy on the panel!
Yay! Not just any guy.
Not just any guy.
The guy with the best hair ever.
And tan.
Boom.
Natural tan.
You heard it here
totally
first.
Natural tan.
I was born this color.
Obvi. The best part about getting the pilot episode out of the way, essentially, is that because it was such an exposition episode, is that it unpacked everything and everybody, hopefully. We don't have to do too much unpacking. So now that the suitcase is unpacked, we can kind of make sense of what we've got. And so we can kind of dig into storylines instead of having to try to understand every single thing. They just threw the spaghetti at the wall and we saw what stuck.
Yeah.
Right. Is it LaVeau or is it LaLaurie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's both.
Well, as we know with Ryan Murphy, this suitcase is not unpacked completely. The suitcase is open. We've taken out a few shirts. It is Ryan Murphy. This is American Horror Story. There is a lot to be uncovered still.
Sure.
But that being said, I think... yes, the pilot episode gave you a lot, and there was a lot to digest, and there was a lot to go over, and there was a lot of new characters, a lot of new faces and names and things like that that we all have to get used to.
Yes.
And old faces, old beautiful faces. Oh, Jessica.
Anyway.
So here we are.
So here we are.
Episode 2.
Boy parts. Here we are. Boy parts in the morgue.
Well, I want to start talking with our... headmistress, Cordelia, and her husband, Hank. Only because, at this point, her storyline is the smallest.
Right.
It is sort of our B storyline of the moment.
C even.
C even, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
And not that it isn't interesting, it's just sort of, I find Sarah Paulson's character at this point, I seem to have a problem with Sarah Paulson because I also had a problem with her last season, not that I don't love her, but I feel like she sort of gets these characters that aren't as interesting as everybody else. Mm. She's having, I guess, marital problems?
Fertility problems. Yeah. But this seems to be past tense, right? So I'm guessing it's past tense. I don't think she's the headmistress of the school because she has a husband and she's trying to make a baby. I'm thinking she's the headmistress because that did not work out.
Oh, so you're thinking this is happening in
the past. I'm thinking this is a flashback and that this is what she was in this situation. She tried. Mm-hmm. And as we saw in that wild sex scene with the magic circle, fire, snakes, and her eyes going black for that moment while she's making love to her husband, something went wrong. And maybe that is why she is now this headmistress, lonely, and doesn't want to talk about her witchy powers. And wants to encourage the girls to sort of shy away. What's your take?
Yeah, I like that take. I just don't know that Ryan Murphy's been so good about saying, this was in 2012, this was in 1864, so, you know, we get the screen of timeline, but not an impossibility, and I do like that theory.
It's sort of open-ended now, because the way that it ended was we saw her in the sex circle.
Mm-hmm. Only way to have sex is in a circle.
A fire.
Exactly. So the storyline's open-ended, and she really stressed to her husband that she didn't want to be involved in any sort of magic to help this fertility, and that's why she was doing the treatments. So I sort of want to know what flipped. Something had to happen, some desperation had to happen that made her, you know, sort of use magic because she didn't want to do that.
Well, let me ask you this, okay? As a woman, as all you ladies, if you were having problems with fertility and you were given the option of IVF, which is a very long, painful hormonal process, which can sometimes lead to nothing, mm-hmm. or
just magically
magic
create one with
snake
a fire.
Baby. What would you do?
Well, we kind of talked about this last week where...
I'm magic snake baby all the way.
Yeah, me too. Where, you know, there are people who are... she's the daughter of the Supreme, and Fiona last week was kind of saying, you know, you're the daughter of the Supreme. And she's like, no, I'm just like everybody else. And I hate that. I hate when people are like, yeah, you know, I might be an heiress, but I'm just like you. Like, no, you're not.
Right.
So use your effing powers and make a snake baby.
She's fighting it, though.
Well, my feeling, I mean, I don't know. If I could make a snake baby, I probably would.
Come on.
Let's be real here.
Yeah.
But
way more sexy.
It just seems like, you know, what she hates about her mother is that she's got this sort of evil power. Like, she's kind of cruel. And she's cruel to her daughter. And Cordelia hates that about her own mother. Like, when are you going to die already? Is what she said to her last episode.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I just feel like there's this tension there, and she doesn't want to be like her mother, who would use anything to be young, would use anything, do anything. So she's trying to take the right path, but ultimately, I mean, I guess she tried to do it for her husband? I don't know. I don't know what changed.
She's fighting it. I can tell she's fighting it. I don't know, fans, what do you think? Do you think it's a flashback? Do you think it's happening in real time? Comment below. We'd love to know your thoughts because I think we're sort of split. I don't know. I mean, I just feel like something had to happen and this might have been the bad thing that made her the way she is now, that she's teaching the witches to sort of hone their powers and hold them in and subdue them when Fiona is the one that's like, you need to use this. Because look at what happened when the cops came in. You know, Fiona spit in the glass and was doing mind control. And Cordelia was freaking out. Stop doing that. You know, I don't think she wants to be involved with it at all.
See, the way that I see it is that this definitely happened in the present tense. It's definitely happening now to her and her husband. And the way that she looks at her magic is that she sees her mother and how her power, I mean, it's like an age-old story when it comes to witches and how magic is seducing, and it's something that I saw in The Secret Circle when I was doing that show, and we see it in The Craft and how, mm-hmm. I mean, practical magic, all these, like, other witch tales that we've all, known and loved is that magic seduces you and it sort of takes over your life and then it sort of becomes something that you necessarily can't control. So I feel like that's the way that she sees it, and she's seen her mother and she's never grown to her full potential because she wants to avoid becoming her mother.
Ooh, and that leads me to something that her mother does say at the end that I think is kind of a theme, is maybe it's better not to disappoint the ones you love.
Exactly.
I might say something from the booth.
Don't mind. Hey.
I really see a comparison here in people who are famous, like children of famous people. They really sometimes try to change their name. Like, take Nicolas Cage for an example. They actually reference Nicolas Cage in the first episode.
They do, and he's a Coppola.
Yeah, he's a Coppola. He tried to become someone without using the Coppola name. And if you look at her daughter,
you look at Natalie Portman.
Well, if you look at her daughter in the show, she's book witchy. She's not the whole, like, powerful spells, because that's what her mom is. She's the one who went into alchemy and things like that. So that kind of seems like that was something to do against her mom, because she didn't want to, like, give into the big power. She wanted to be the book smart one. And then with this, with the pregnancy thing, I think it's really just her mom's back. And I think there's a stress to not, you know, procreating the old-fashioned way. And I think she's
with IVF.
Yeah. The old-fashioned way is clearly not working.
Yeah, so that's why she's doing the old magic fashion way.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that I agree with that. It's not like she went to law school. I mean, she's still dabbling in witchcraft, right? Like,
She didn't go to law school. She's teaching other witches to control themselves.
Right. Yeah. And she is making potions and speaking Latin.
But it looks like the magic she's using isn't using her powers at all. It's all incantations. It's all things like that. So she's defying her mom by only using incantation magic as opposed to the powers that were bestowed upon her by being the Supreme's daughter.
Right. But just because she's the Supreme's daughter doesn't mean she has actualized that same type of power.
Right.
Because in the beginning, I believe, even in the first episode, in the pilot episode, they say that it usually skips a generation and doesn't go to every single daughter.
But you know what? She had said in the first episode, you could have been the next Supreme.
Right.
So I think that it's something that they have, that it builds up.
Right. And it's very possible that, what the hell's her name? Claudia. Is that her name?
Who?
Cordelia.
We can just call her Foxy from now on, because that's what Madison Montgomery,
calls
I just call her MM. MM calls her Foxy, which I like a lot better.
I do too.
We
so
can't
Foxy.
Have nicknames for every character. The audience can have no idea what we're talking
about. The audience can vote on that.
We did it on Pretty Little Liars, and they still refer to them as those same nicknames today.
All right.
3 seasons later. Anyway, so Foxy could have been conceived, because there has been no mention of a husband.
Right.
So she could have been conceived the same exact way, which is why she can't conceive, because she's not a natural birth.
Ooh. Wow.
So there's a lot of things going on. What is that face?
Uh-oh.
Spit it out.
It's just assumes that, I don't know, just because you were born through in vitro means that you're not going to be able to conceive naturally.
Exactly.
If you were born through
a snake baby process, then maybe you can't come.
We don't know how a witch's ovaries work.
Is it a deal with the devil? Her eyes turned black.
Yeah. I mean, it really looks like it.
Because remember, she said that she didn't want to toy with life and death.
Right.
And that's the thing that freaks me out, because we didn't catch the black right away. Steven did.
Steven
has the eyes. He caught it.
Black eyes.
I know. Yeah. It's super creepy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was
like the devil passed through her.
Right. Yeah. And is it possible that she traded the life of a baby for her husband's life?
Do you think the snakes? Oh.
No, that's exactly what I thought, because I'm feeling like Hank is the name of her husband. I'm feeling like he's not really a part of this story.
Yeah, because we're
just an auxiliary character, yeah.
Maybe men in general, I feel like in this storyline are going to be coming and going. I don't think they're going to be very important.
Yeah.
The first thing I said when I saw him was, "Oh, he's not long for this show."
Right.
Yeah,
I had an epiphany though, because you said it skips a generation.
Mm-hmm.
What if, because her mother's back, the Supreme, she's now desperate to have another child, because it did skip her.
To replace her.
Because it did skip her, and now she needs someone to be able to be on the same footing as her mother.
Brilliant.
Even though it's long-term planning, you never know.
Hmm. Interesting.
Well, interesting. I mean, I guess we'll see.
It's very, very interesting. But on that note.
I just wanted to talk about the opening. The gators and the white winged dove playing and then Misty Day appearing and Misty making Day these alligators. I mean, it was a gruesome scene. And
I loved it.
Again, another character that I'm like, is she? We know that she's alive now, yes. Right? She healed herself.
Well, was
herself.
There any question that she was actually dead with you?
Well, you know, that Louisiana mud just healed her right up.
Exactly.
Well, there was never a question that she was going to be, that we were going to see her again. But there was kind of a question of how she comes back to life, I guess. But
yeah. I mean, you always have to think about who your actors are.
Right.
And who's portraying these characters. They're never going to bring on, which is why in the pilot episode, I knew immediately that Kathy Bates was not actually dead.
Of course,
because it's Kathy Bates. Like, you don't put her in the pilot episode for 2 minutes, pay her $1 million, and then kill her. What the hell was the point of that?
Well, her interaction with Tate's character. I mean, I keep calling him Tate from last season.
I know.
Kyle. Frank and Kyle?
That's season one.
Yeah, but Kyle.
Frank and Kyle.
He's the one who's dead now, and she's the one of resurgence. So connecting those two characters together is a really good plot point.
Well, he's undead.
Or we is don't even he undead? Know what, is he a zombie? We're I mean, really there are sure. so many things that are going to come to play with him.
But with also, like, you know, we keep seeing these themes about, you know, protecting those that are taken advantage of or that are underrepresented. You know, we've seen the slaves. And then even Misty Day coming out of nowhere and being like, you know, you're preying on these helpless animals. And what for? They're just going to be shoes, you know. But then to turn them against their captors and their killers, it seems so dramatic. But it's also a theme, I feel like, that plays out through all of the American Horror Story.
Yeah.
And Ryan Murphy Project, something Steve and I were discussing earlier.
Yeah.
You know, there's always somebody on a mission to save
somebody
else.
Yeah. I agree.
But that's I'm wondering, is this going to translate into Frank and Kyle? Like, is she going to be saving Frank and Kyle? Or just animals?
Well, I mean, I guess that is something that we're going to have to see. I don't necessarily think that Misty Day is going to be around for the long haul. Not to say that she's going to be killed off again. But I don't see that character being around for very much longer.
It was a bizarre kind of turn in her character this evening, because I saw her in the pilot and tonight as well. It's such like a strong woman witch with this like incredible power, but then she seemed like so fragile and desperate with Zoe, just like you're not gonna leave, right? You're gonna come back, right?
And that she's sense of belonging,
and all, yeah, that she would have only just found another witch.
Mm-hmm. She's been alone for so long.
Well, I understand, but
how long has she been alone?
Yeah, I guess she's been like kind of a weirdo in the woods now.
Well, we also don't know how old she is. If she can bring things back from the dead,
but also has she died more than once?
That's what I'm saying.
Right. When was she born?
Exactly. Why is she such a weirdo? Why does she live in the woods? There's a
so
lot of
many
questions.
Questions.
That need
why
to be
is she
answered.
Obsessed with Stevie Nicks? Wait, we know why.
We know why.
She's amazing.
She's the
you
only
get me.
Other witch she's
get
ever
me.
Known.
The
I get
white
you.
With the original white witch.
I can't stand it.
Yes, bring it in.
Give it to me.
Thank you.
I saw them perform.
I feel like I need like bell sleeves.
Live at the Staples Center. It was amazing.
Bell sleeves.
I bet it was.
Oh my god, I died. Anyway, and then Misty Day brought me back to life. That's our connection. Speaking of Misty makes an appearance again. She's alive, and I think her purpose was to bring back Kyle at this point, from what we know. And
I thought what brought Kyle back to life was
the
true
kiss.
Love's kiss.
I hope
love.
Not.
They knew each other
for five
minutes.
Yeah,
give me
I
a break.
Really hope not. So Jillian and I were talking about this last week. It was like, okay, if this gets set up that they're going to be boyfriend and girlfriend again, it's a little bit, for me at least, it's a little bit too predictable. It's a little bit too cheesy.
I was
kind of gagging, like, oh, baloney. Like, really?
Not that I was actually paying attention during the credits. Sometimes we fast forward through them. Is he in the opening credits or is he guest starring?
He's in the opening credits.
Okay, so he's going to be in the show for the rest of the season.
He's around. They're filming in Louisiana right now, and you know, he's going to be there.
Yeah, he'll be there for the rest of the season.
The way I brought this up in News and Gossip last week, mm-hmm. Thaisa Farmiga did say on the red carpet that there is something going on between her and Evan Peters this season as well. She just wouldn't delve into it too deep. And clearly Kyle has emotions for Zoe because even though he's a Franken-Kyle, towards the end when they were in Misty Day's sort of den, mm-hmm. You know, he didn't want her to leave. He was moaning and he kept pulling on to her. So there's a connection there.
There is a connection, but is the connection more of like when we actually see Frankenstein's monster mm-hmm. in that story of Dr. Frankenstein? That monster had a connection to Dr. Frankenstein as well. So is there a connection because she brought him back to life and not necessarily because he's in love with her? So he feels that connection because he feels like this is my creator.
Right.
This is my quote-unquote God.
But also, I'm confused. So Zoe is the Black Widow. She kills people by having sex with them. But does she bring people back to life by kissing them?
I mean, that would be awesome.
But do you understand? Because, like, Misty Day just said she came because she felt the power.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, my...
Well, this is where, I know, it gets really tricky because I'm thinking maybe the power is her innate supreme powers, but right. she doesn't know she has because she's a weak, pathetic weakling.
Exactly. And that's where, like, I feel like this is sort of going. They've sort of set it up for us as the fans to try and figure out. They do set it up in the beginning with Fiona and Claudia. You could have been the next supreme. There's a lot of things happening to the left of me. I'm very distracted.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. And now I lost my train of thought. This is why I hate you.
But I love you. Zoe's
I don't know the next what supreme? I was saying. Zoe's the next supreme.
Is it what
no,
you think?
It's definitely not a question mark. It's happening.
Okay.
I'm going to say that right now.
Is she Foxy's daughter?
Do you want to save it for predictions?
No. Okay. No, I'm just going to spit it out now because if I save for predictions, I'll forget it.
Okay.
So are we officially on to
we
kind
are
of
talking
boy
about
parts?
Boy parts, where we get our title for this week's episode, Zoe and Madison, the ever likable Emma Roberts.
You know, there was a moment there before they go into the morgue that I thought I made a star in my notes, meaning major theme.
Oh, is that
and
what you do?
Yes, that's what I do. And it says
that's fun.
Guilt by association. With the frat
with
boys.
With Madison?
With Kyle. Mm. Frank and Kyle.
But well, Madison is guilty?
Madison is saying that Kyle is a bad guy.
Oh, yes.
Because he was fraternity brothers with these guys that gang raped mm-hmm, her. And, mm-hmm. He would have done it if he had gotten the chance.
Right.
And to me, that kind of brought up this idea of guilt by association. Like, are all slave owners bad people? Are all these frat guys bad people? Like, everyone that is persecuting someone else... Mm-hmm. Are, you know, they get lumped in with everyone else, you know, with the person that's doing the persecuting.
Interesting.
Well, I guess we'll get to see because she's now given him the opportunity.
Totally.
To rape her.
Oh my God!
Or has she? I mean.
She picked his parts.
She did pick all
his totally
parts.
Picked all his parts.
Yeah. Yeah. But has she given him the opportunity to rape her? Has he actually given.
Not
has
yet.
She given him. New life? Is he a new person now that he's different parts?
I have so many questions about that scene. You know, Zoe
Start
said,
asking them.
Zoe said, did we marry the devil? I mean, was the devil
was a little
involved
cheesy.
In that?
Yeah. I'm sure the devil was involved. I mean, stuff with bringing back people to life, you always see it. We see it in Practical Magic. I'll say it again. When
did
you bring
you
someone back from the dead.
Sabrina, the Teenage Cracker?
Yes.
How
I
great was that line?
I love that show.
No, they said in the incantation, we will devote ourselves to you for all eternity and until we, you know, go, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
We see it all the time. When someone is being brought back from the dead, they never, one, come back as the same person as they were from before.
Right.
Two, it's always dark magic. It's never light magic. So... And the devil being involved, I don't know.
Well, the girls were screaming.
You know.
Yeah, they were in pain almost. Like, there was this, like,
which made no sense.
Well, it seemed like there was an electrical storm of some kind of, like, spirit. I don't know.
The camera got fuzzy.
And that was Ryan Murphy's magic.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was a magic touch right there.
He was like, I want lightning. Make lightning happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I also
think... Let's take the camera out of focus. Great.
Fog.
Flip it upside down.
Awesome.
I could have done without the fog. Yeah. But I think, if you're going to do something as heavy as bring somebody back from the dead, You should probably not steal the spell from somebody else. Like, you should know what you're doing.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
You should know what the Latin means.
Yeah. I did enjoy the fact, though, that when Emma Roberts was saying the spell, Madison.
Yes.
Whatever her freaking name is.
Madison Montgomery.
Thank you. And then Mandy Moore.
God, I loved her.
MM. You said MM. I thought Mandy Moore. When Madison... I have a very polluted thought process in my brain hole. I'm going to put that out there.
It's probably because you have a brain hole.
Exactly. There's nothing in there.
One Madison.
Madison was saying the spell, and she was speaking whatever language Latin. She's speaking. Mm-hmm. Sure, Latin. It didn't sound like she'd ever spoken it before. That is one thing that I truly enjoyed. Because whenever you see a witch... show and they start like incanting spells and stuff like that, they always sound like they've been speaking Latin their entire life. And right. You're like, where did you learn Latin? You're 10 years old. Like,
and she even said, I've been acting since I was 5 years old. I know my lines.
But sure,
she doesn't know what it means.
You know, you might not know what they mean. You might not know how to exactly say
it.
And like, I enjoyed that. A little bit of truth to a witch story.
And I know this is a little off topic, but it also made me nervous when Foxy was having her husband say the words. Because I thought, oh my God, this is an opportunity for him to mess up. He doesn't know what he's saying. And this is a foreign language spell.
And foreign language to everybody.
And she's saying, say it. Like, what if he says something wrong? And so there seems like there's just so many opportunities for everything to go awry. And of course, they do.
Of course, they do. Or did they?
We'll see.
We don't really know.
We're going to have to wait and see, like, what happens.
We're going to have to tune in next week.
But what a great friend Madison is. I mean,
is she?
She's like, you're on your own, bitch.
Oh my God.
What a friend.
Please.
You know?
I mean, Zoe raped her rapist to death last week. Like, I owe you, girl.
Yeah, like, she's like, I'm going to get you back by getting your boyfriend back. And then as soon as somebody comes, she takes off. I mean, this girl is.
Every man for himself.
Yeah. She could have done something. She could have flipped that guy's car.
Totally.
Oh.
She could have done anything.
She could have done anything.
She could have been like, hi, I'm Madison Montgomery. Do you want my autograph? Got into a little conversation.
No.
She could have done
somebody's
many
thinking.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's
she
you.
One, introduced herself as, hi, I'm Madison Montgomery, the movie star.
Right.
Yes.
So right there off the bat tells you that she's completely self-obsessed.
Right.
Well,
she
did mention that she's trying to get herself together, clean herself up.
Sober,
no, she
sober
said,
except for vodka.
Exactly.
No, but later when she said, we're going to take us to jail, and she's like, I can't. I'm supposed to be cleaning myself up and getting myself together.
She's supposed to be.
Right.
And her representation staged an intervention.
Right.
And we all know how those go.
Mm-hmm. That's like the fifth time they go to rehab.
Exactly. Come on.
We wonder why it doesn't work.
You get forced to go.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be willing.
And then you write a song about it, but then that doesn't always work out.
Yeah.
Speaking of Madison's backstory, I want to just touch on Queenie real fast because I'm obsessed with Gabourey Sidibe. Can we just talk about her backstory in the fried chicken fast food restaurant?
We can. But before we talk about fried chicken.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Which I do love me some fried chicken. I want to... have our fans do us all a favor here at AfterBuzz and on our show. And comment, rate, subscribe. Tell us how much you like fried chicken. Give us some fried chicken recipes.
Mm-hmm.
Where to get good fried chicken. Where to order fried chicken.
Give us 5 stars.
I don't know what any of that means.
Five.
I don't know how to use iTunes. But I'm sure that you people out there do. I am not very technologically advanced.
Can't even say technologically.
Exactly. I am like...
But everyone at home, we know you are.
We know that you are because you're listening to us or you're watching us right now. So you know how to use iTunes. You also, I'm sure, know how to use Amazon. So you can go on there. You can order... Serial Buddies, it is out on DVD now. Mm-hmm. You can also go to 7-Eleven because I heard it's on sale there.
They're selling it everywhere.
They're selling it literally everywhere.
Everybody wants
it. And for those of you who don't know, Serial Buddies is a movie that our executive producers, Kevin Undergaro and extras Maria Menounos, put out into the world, and it's awesome. It stars Maria, Beth Bears. Mm-hmm. It's like Dexter meets Dumb and Dumber, and we love it. We've all seen it, and you're here
so
to support
many times.
Us. So support us by buying the movie.
Yeah. Or you can rent it on Netflix, right?
You have
to order it. It's not streaming, so it has to be sent to your house.
It's not streaming yet.
Which is kind of a pain in the ass, but not really. But
all right.
Whatever.
And then you can get
it is kind of a pain in the ass. You have to stick it on your queue, and you got to wait for it to show up.
So you can go right away to 7-Eleven or Target.
Yeah. So go to 7-Eleven is what we're saying.
There's one on every corner.
Okay. Can we talk about fried chicken now?
Yes, please.
Oh, thank you.
I'm getting hungry. Back to fried chicken.
Back to Queenie. Loved that she stuck her hand in the fryer.
So good.
So graphic, like so unnecessary to see skin bubble on the screen. Like I never thought I'd actually.
Really?
I mean, I thought
it was fully necessary.
I enjoyed it.
I mean, come on.
It, yeah.
It's so good.
It
the
is so
special
good.
Effects were fantastic.
Yeah, it was good. I watched it like this. It was so scary.
No. Yeah. So good.
I mean, of course, it's like cringeworthy, but that's what this show is about.
Yeah.
You want to be horrified, right? It's a
horror
story.
It's a horror story. The one thing that I do not like about Queenie's backstory is that she's a descendant of Tituba.
I love it.
Okay, I think it's fantastic. Great. Make her, I'm going to hold your hand. Make her a descendant of the freaking queen of all magic. But come on, does it have to be a character from the Crucible?
Well,
she is. If you read The Crucible or you watch the freaking play, Tituba is in that. And Tituba dies in that.
But she's a real person also. She was a slave in Salem.
As was I.
Okay. Well, you'll have to tell us your backstory.
Explain your color.
I was a slave in Salem.
But what I like about this is that Tituba was known for necromancy. And as we know, Misty Day is as well. So I'm wondering if at some point their storylines will cross.
Now, here's where I think you're completely insane.
Okay, go.
Okay. Tituba, as we know, was a slave, right?
Right.
Slaves, as we know, were black.
Right.
Misty Day is white.
Okay, but she
like,
was
really white.
Okay, but she was a slave in Salem, and there were also white witches in Salem.
No, I know, but what?
And I'm not saying
what?
That they're sisters.
Sisters. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying maybe their sister from another mist.
Okay. I mean, the possibility is out there. But the way I think that they explained it is Angela Bassett's character.
Marie Laveau. Yes.
Is that her name?
Yes. Madame Marie Laveau. An actual historical character as well.
Yeah. She explained that.
Sure.
Yeah, awesome.
Queen of voodoo.
I'm thinking, you know, Stella.
Yeah, her groove was back. Did you see that weave?
My
oh, my gosh.
She's
swinging them
1990s Angela Bassett. Never looked better. Come on, woman.
Clearly, she's been drinking the serum.
She has been.
Yeah.
I don't know what she's doing, but she looks amazing.
Anyway,
so how she explains it is that Tituba came from this African tribe and learned her voodoo magic from the Akawa. Is that what she said?
Mm-hmm.
Or the Macaw. What did she say?
No, it was
Akawa. It was the Akawa.
I think a Macaw's a bird.
She learned from the Macaw in Africa. This macaw came up to her and was like, yo, this is voodoo.
Like,
and she was like, awesome. I'm going to take it to the Americas. And she gave magic to the girls of Salem. So I think that's how Misty Day got her fascination with dead peoples.
Well, as you recall, all magic derived from Tituba is necromancy.
But so, I feel like I missed that then.
No, because she was dabbling in necromancy, and then everything is derived from that. So all of the witches of the Supreme and everything, they all learn from the same base person, which is Tituba.
Yeah. Right.
So that connects literally everything. It connects Kyle with, I mean, the same way that you see her boyfriend, like Che, whatever his name was. The bull, the minotaur guy?
Che?
I forgot. He's a minotaur, but his name is
Che Guevara.
Bastien.
Oh, Bastien. Well, the same way you see him, he's alive.
Yeah.
I really feel like when she finds him in the attic, he's not alive. And she brought him back with the same kind of spell that the girls used to bring Kyle back. And that's why he's not talking at the end. That's why he's like, ugh.
That's why he's still a minotaur.
Yeah. So I feel like you don't get a personality from the person you bring back. But all of the magic connects to itself through Tituba, so I'm wondering how Queenie's going to fit into this in a big way.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay.
Well, because Queenie's power is she's a human voodoo doll.
Right.
Or, Yeah. Yes. Human voodoo doll. Mm-hmm. I was like, that doesn't seem right, but yes.
Yeah.
But now a question that we had last week I think has been answered, and that's, you know, can she be hurt if somebody else is hurting her? And Madame LaLaurie
smacks her over the head.
Yeah, and she
falls down. Which I'm surprised that she fell down and not Kathy Bates. But I guess, like,
she has to be focusing her power on her subject of choice.
Right. And she was hit in the back of the head.
Yeah.
Mm.
Poor Queenie.
She'll be fine.
Poor about Queenie. Nothing.
But so we know she can be hurt by other people. But then I was also wondering if she wanted to kill someone, could she give herself a mortal wound that would not mortally wound her, but would kill the other person? Which I'm guessing is yes, but I...
Oh, interesting.
Do you know what I mean? Could she stab herself?
But can you... I don't think with a voodoo doll you can kill somebody.
Oh, you can only torture them.
I think you can torture and hurt them. Right. I don't think you can kill somebody that way.
My question is, if Tituba had all these powers and could give them to other people, maybe Queenie has the ability to give other people her powers.
Huh.
So if we get Misty Day with the power of resurgence, mm-hmm. the ability of voodoo, and she can kill herself over and over again, I don't know.
Wow.
Mm-mm. I mean, I guess it's something that we'll have to wait and see. I mean, someone who clearly has not died is Angela Bassett.
Yes. Right.
What's her name again?
Marie Laveau.
Marie Laveau. It's hard with all these French names.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's just put it out there. French names are not hard.
Voodoo Queen.
Easy to remember.
Yeah. Fierce Voodoo Queen. And then we have Madame LaLaurie.
Madame
and
Delphine
LaLaurie. We have Madame Marie Delphine LaLaurie.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. I had to write it down. I'm not going to remember her name. She's going to be Kathy Bates from here on out. And Fiona.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Which I think was very interesting that her name, her last name is Good. Just going to put that out there.
Well, is she the Good Witch?
No. It's like a Salem witch thing.
Is
their
it?
One of their last names was Good.
Yeah.
Good call. I had no idea.
Yeah, so she's definitely like a descendant. I mean, I'm sure they all are of the Salem witches, but I think she's a direct line, which is why she is a supreme. But Fiona is looking to become more youthful, as we know from the first
episode. She's desperate.
I mean, as we all are, chasing youth. Hello, well, we live in L.A.
I know. Yeah. But what would you do for it is the question. And
well,
what,
she actually, Fiona would burn some weaves. We saw that.
Uh-huh. We saw that. And that's expensive. Human hair is expensive, and they buy it by the pound.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't say that. This show is completely racist without me having to be.
Yeah, we were commenting that it comes off as, I mean, the stereotypes are just kind of... Yeah.
Stereotypes exist for a reason. I'm going to say it. It's okay to be, everyone's a little bit racist,
but
if we don't want to admit it.
One of the lines, though, was, clean up your stations, I'm tired of seeing Popeyes and Coke cans every, I mean, come on.
I didn't say it.
I know you didn't
she
say
it. She said it.
I know.
Me?
But I think it's great, you said it. I think it's great that they're, you know what I mean? Okay, come on, they're going to have a salon run by a black lady in New Orleans.
Do we need two fried chicken references?
Right.
In one episode.
I mean, granted,
yes.
if you go to New Orleans, everything's fried.
Everything is fried in New Orleans.
Yeah. Or caked in sugar.
Yeah.
However, it just seemed so over the top to me. Like,
I was a little offended. She, like, turns on the music
just,
and they're, like, dancing, yeah, get, doing the hair. And they're like,
all
yeah,
smart,
girl!
Yeah, girl, get it, girl, get it, girl. He was like, really? Come on. Like,
he was just pushing the stereotype a little too hard.
Or is it a real thing? I mean, when was the last time we were in a salon like that?
Not never.
Exactly.
So
no.
Maybe we shouldn't even.
Maybe we should do some research.
Maybe we should.
Go to Compton.
You guys,
we're for you, Compton.
I'm
gonna
post a related YouTube video after this, you guys. So look out for it.
What is this YouTube video?
I'm gonna post a related one, so you're gonna have to look out for it too.
I don't know how to use the
surprises
computer.
For the fans.
I know.
Surprise,
great
job, Anna.
I told you I don't know how to use the computer, so you're just gonna have to tell me later.
I will. I'll just show it to you.
Perfect. But Fiona's looking for some magic cure to everlasting life. She finds out that Kathy Bates is totally still alive. She's immortal.
Right.
Which, is a similar theme. It's not something that we haven't seen before, someone being cursed with immortality to punish them for their wrongdoings. I mean, it was a theme last season on Vampire Diaries, as it is a theme this season. It has been a theme in vampire lore forever that the original vampire was cursed with this for wronging somebody.
Right.
So I wonder, and I'm wondering what you people think, because she hasn't said that she's hungry. She said that she hasn't been hungry as of yet. If she might be vampire.
Well, she is. She's a daywalker because she's just sitting out and plain as day.
Yeah.
She has some kind of odor that we don't really understand.
If you hadn't bathed in 180 years or worn deodorant and the same clothes...
I guess, but this is also someone who we guess hasn't gone to the bathroom because they haven't eaten and they're immortal. I mean, there's all these things that come together where you're like, well, she's foul, smells foul, but then also we don't see Fiona reacting to her smell.
And why doesn't she bathe her?
Well, but then, but
take a bath, you stupid.
Oh, you know, but Fiona ate fried chicken too, so we're split even.
Yeah. She brought fried chicken. There were three references.
Okay, so.
She's like, my daughter knows how to fry up a chicken.
If I may.
Yes. Spit it out.
Madame Laveau said to Fiona in the salon, you're a witch, I can smell it on you. So, I think that might be...
Interesting.
But then Madame Lalaurie is asking, are you a witch? I was hoping you were so you could kill me.
I don't believe, I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, that she was a witch herself.
Oh, no, she's not.
She's not, yeah, right? She was just completely insane and, like, tortured people to...
Loved Greek mythology, just, you know, plain old weird.
Plain old weird.
I know she was a serial killer, sick lady.
My point is this, is that witches seem to have this sense of smell about who somebody is.
Right.
Or do the voodoo ladies have the sense of smell?
Well, they all seem to.
No, all the girls seem to have a sense of smell about...
knowing who each other are. Oh, about Lalaurie, that she stinks.
Right. And it's probably because she's such a horrible person.
Oh.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Look at that.
Oh, look at that.
I just thought it was because she was, you know, like laying in her own poop. That's what I thought.
I just assumed that she
smelled
like
death. Or it's a stink of forbidden magic.
It's the stink of her rotten soul or whatever it is, but that's a great point.
Like a rotting soul.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, we know she's the new maid next week, so we'll see. we'll see if Kathy Bates still stinks. You know.
Does Kathy bathe?
That was, I'm going to call it here, a dumb pun. Probably the dumbest I've ever heard.
He can't even fight back. He's in the booth.
I know. He can fight back. But where was I going with this? Oh, Fiona says to Kathy Bates, his character.
Lalaurie. Madame Lalaurie.
Isn't it Delaurie?
Lalaurie.
Delphine Lalaurie.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. I wrote Delaurie. Whatever. She says to her that she did even more despicable things than she's ever done, and that she deserves to be back in the ground.
Right. She was saying if only 10 of the tens of thousands of things I've read about you are true, then you deserve to be back in that box. Because there's something wrong with you, and you're demented.
Yeah.
And I do have a little bit of...
And that be coming from that evil of a person is like, damn, girl.
Yes. I do have a little historical snippet for our news and gossip section when we get there.
Want to be there now.
To just talk about how sick of a lady she was.
Shall we?
I think we should, because you know what? Is there anything else in this episode that anyone thought was relevant to discuss? I do not. Except for I loved all the Fleetwood Mac.
Just, you know, to quickly mention, Nan hears Lalaurie's thoughts so loud that she unties her and says, get out, because it's just so disturbing to her.
She thinks too loud.
You think too loud.
I think it's great. I love that she's back on American Horror Story, that actress.
Yeah, I love her.
And I don't know.
Sorry, I interrupted your thought. But there's something that I did want to touch on, too, was how Fiona rips into Zoe when she cracks under the very mild police pressure.
Oh, my God. Right.
And I wrote down some of the things she said, because they were so poignant and mean, but true.
Yeah.
She says, you are soft, emotional, and you care what people think. even the weakest among us are better than the best of them. And the only thing you have to be afraid of is me. And I thought,
in this world, she said, in this world.
And I thought that was amazing because I felt the same way. I felt like Zoe. I was just like, she's just pathetic.
She is.
She's pathetic. Mm-hmm. I don't like her character at all. I'm just like, I can't handle characters with no backbone and spine, you know? And I just, ugh.
She's going to grow, though. I believe,
well, and I think that's part of her story arc, you know, is that she's going to get some cojones, proverbial
some
cojones.
Some supremeness?
Yes. So,
yeah, I mean, whatever, some supreme cojones.
A sparkly
cojones.
Gown and a nice big wig.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean,
wait, Diana Ross is in this? No.
Yes.
But Fiona really, you know, she gives it to those girls by slamming them against the walls and is
well,
like.
Well, I mean, she's there to teach.
She sure is.
Yeah. And she's going to teach them a thing or two about being a witch.
And she's going to teach all the ladies are going to learn a thing or two from her.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm very excited to see where this season goes. And I'm very happy that, of where it already has gone.
Yeah.
And on that note, let's jump into news and gossip.
Boom. AfterBuzz TV News.
So I know that last episode we were talking about the historical nature of the show and how American Horror Story is always based on some sort of American horror story. Mm-hmm. And then they put sort of, you know, the fictionalized twist on it. So a lot of fans were talking about doing their research. And I know I did some research, but there's so much information, especially on Madame LaLaurie, because she was such a sicko. So I thought I would just pull out a little snippet because the reason that she was found out was because there was a big fire that broke out in her mansion. And when the fire marshals and the police arrived...
Wait, talk about how the fire broke out.
When the fire marshals and police arrived, they found a 70-year-old woman who was chained to the stove by her ankle, a slave, that admitted to starting the fire as a suicide attempt because she didn't want to be taken upstairs. And she told them that all of those slaves that get taken upstairs have never, ever come back. And that's how they ended up going into the attic and finding 70 to 100
corpses,
slaves that were still alive and showed signs of being tortured long term.
Nice.
And some were, but most of them were alive. Still, barely.
Awesome.
So that was all.
Not that I think that is torturing people is awesome. I just think
that was a little bit of information that I gathered of kind of how she was ousted. But there's still so much more, and we'd love to hear from the fans too. If you guys get gems of information, there's still a lot that's unknown about her because her whereabouts when she died are thought to be Paris, but it's not confirmed. So that's what makes this story even
thought
spookier.
To be Paris. Interesting. Was she French? Or was she from New Orleans?
She was born in New Orleans.
Born in New Orleans.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Just to kind of follow up on that story, I also read that firemen were like running out, vomiting from the things that they saw. And the husband was questioned by like the chief of police. And the husband was just kind of like, this is none of your business. Like, you should leave. You know, families to their own affairs, and how dare you barge in here, basically, and ask why we torture people.
I mean, I think it's very interesting and a sign of the times that she was found out torturing these people, and she didn't get arrested, nothing happened to her, and they think that she died in Paris.
Well, she ran for it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like a thing of, like, she technically owned those people.
Yes.
For that time, they were her property, so she could technically do whatever
and
she
I,
wanted
and I
to them.
And I went on to read that they were rumors, but no one had seen anything. So yeah. The police would come around and give speeches about how you must treat your slaves properly, but there was no actual evidence except for a young girl who apparently was brushing Madame Lollery's hair and snagged it, and so they took her to the top of a roof and pushed her off. 12-year-old girl,
what?
Slave girl. So this is a really nasty woman historically.
And because of that, they had 9 slaves taken away from them. 9 slaves. But a family member, like, bought them back, and so they ended up in the same house, and it just was...
What money can buy.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Horrible. But a really interesting history.
But this is this really truly is a real American horror story. So just think about that when you're tuning in and seeing this character.
Yeah.
Very cool, Steven.
Background on Rhiannon, the song by, of course, Fleetwood Mac. Mm-hmm.
The one and only.
Her music is copyrighted under the name Welsh Witch Music, and a reference to her song Rhiannon, which she introduced as a song about Welsh witch. And apparently she bought black clothes and, like, really got into kind of Wicca and made people believe she was a witch for a while.
Yeah. Mm. I mean,
Misty wow. Day believed it.
Hey, yo.
Misty Day is like, that is the original white witch.
She's my queen.
She's my queen. Does anyone else have any other news and gossip?
This is actually news from, like, mid-July, I want to say. But I just found out about it, and it was kind of shocking to me. But apparently, like, Emma Roberts and Evan Peters got into, like, a domestic disturbance. Did you guys know about that?
Yeah. They were in Canada, and apparently
yes,
the police were called. Evan was found bloodied up.
Emma beat him up.
Yeah, they arrested her on the spot, but they let her go because he had no intention of pressing charges, and they are back as a couple as if nothing happened. It was like a little blurb.
Maybe he likes it rough.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me. Emma Roberts has a history of dating her co-stars, and then when she's done filming, they end up broken up.
But does she have a history of
beating them before?
Actually,
filming
a little another tidbit for you guys. Ryan Murphy tweeted a photo today of a bloodied up Evan and Emma smiling. So I was wondering if that was sort of a dig at the domestic dispute that they had, or it was sort of foreshadowing something that was happening to Kyle's character in future episodes because he was covered in blood. So, guys, check that out on Ryan Murphy's Twitter. I think it's at Mr. Ryan Murphy. He also posted a really funny photo today of all the witches in a line, and he said, "On Wednesdays, we wear black."
That's really funny.
He's really getting into it.
He is getting really into it. Now, I guess that was our news and gossip. You jerk.
Yeah, jerk.
Tell us your predictions.
I already said my only prediction, because... which is Zoe's going to be our new Supreme. And that's my season prediction, because from the snippet that we saw for next week, the only thing we got was Kathy Bates is the new maid, and that's not a prediction because they told us that.
I hope Zoe's not the Supreme because I don't like her. I'm sorry.
Well, my prediction is almost exactly like your prediction, except I think Nan's going to be the Supreme.
Ooh. I think you're delusional.
You can't think I'm delusional for a prediction.
Yes, I'm entitled to my opinion.
I hope for the world that Misty Day stays around for a little bit. I think there's a lot more to know about her, and I think that she's going to be an integral part of sort of what happens, and I think that she's such a great actress.
Do you think she's going to be coming to the house, to the home?
I mean, I think she has a sense that witches are around. You know, mm-hmm. she sensed Zoe.
Right.
So I have a feeling that she's going to find this. And what I'm hoping for is that she sort of joins their coven.
Ooh.
So. Are they even technically a coven yet? I don't think so.
What did they say? Mornings?
What was the...
I think to become a coven, you have to join.
Okay.
As, like, a group of people and, like, do a ritual. I mean, that's how it works, right?
Ori, what are your predictions?
I predict that Misty Day is going to put her muddy moves on Frank and Kyle and have some sort of, like, healing touch, and then he's going to see her as the healing maker, and then that's going to make Zoe confused, and I think that's the next step in that situation.
Yeah.
I really can't make any other predictions because I can't pin anything else down.
She's real lonely.
She's really desperate
to
make something live and, like, stay with her.
Yeah.
She's been kissing animals for so long.
Yeah.
Exactly. A man.
Oh, my God.
Right?
And stay with her.
Yeah. Like, the alligators
she
come alive
gone, like,
and swim away, and the bird flies
single,
away.
Full single-like female on you here.
Totally. That's what I for.
She needs a man.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be cool.
And he's got all the best parts, so why not? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean...
Anyway.
Whatever. Does he have all the best parts?
We'll see.
I think
he has all the right moves, you know, his head banging through the window.
Oh, God. I think Kathy Bates is going to outlive her usefulness with Jessica Lange, and I think Jessica will actually kill her, or maybe Laveau will kill her, and then Misty Day will bring her back to life after her sweet release of death to use her for her own means.
I'm so confused. She can't die.
She can't
learn the names.
She needs a witch to kill her. So I think she's going to die and finally get that.
She thinks that she needs a witch to kill her.
And then Misty's going to bring her back to life and continue her immortal torture.
I don't know about that. She's not going to die. She can't die. You mean even
he's entitled to his opinion, remember?
No, I know, but it's just like one of those things, like when you have an immortal being, like on Vampire Diaries.
This is not Vampire Diaries.
I know, but it's like one of those things that people, it's a theme that people always use.
Well, you know what the theme is here is more about not dying and not disappointing the other people and guilt by association and having power above people underneath you.
Right.
So, and punishing those and letting people get what they deserve.
Okay. Well, then let's put this out there also. Because it's a Ryan Murphy show, which character is going to be gay? I heard that laugh. It's Ryan Murphy. Who's gay?
Well, I see.
Queenie,
I don't,
obviously.
I don't.
Who?
Well,
Queenie.
Really?
Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I would totally put money on Queenie.
Yeah. I think it might be Missy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she totally wanted to make out with Zoe's face today.
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
You saw that little twinkle in her eye.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't put that together, but you're right.
Yeah.
It's not Frank and Kyle she wants. It's Zoe that she wants.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's in love with Zoe.
She's going to use Frank and Kyle to get to Zoe.
There you go.
Boom.
Nailed it.
Boom. Until next week, everybody.
Wait, where can you find everybody?
I don't know.
You can find me at Miss Oriana Leo on Twitter.
You can find me at Jillian Leff on Twitter.
You can follow me at Cobble for Mayor, KOPPELFORMAYOR.
And
where are you?
I'm at, you can call me Skiff, SKIFF, the letter U. We'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.